You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, bonjour, sanbonani, tobela, dimasheroni abudi, khuyamore. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show on this Thursday, the 4th of April. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. The 702 open line starts now. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. The biggest story of the meaning of the morning right now, the developments around the former Speaker of the National Assembly, Nosiviwe Mabisa Nqakula. How do you feel about her resignation yesterday? She's resigned. She has finally handed herself over to the police this morning. How do you feel about that? It took a lot of work to get her to hand herself over and to get her to resign. I'll explain to you what I was told by sources I spoke to within the ANC who are very close to her. But I want to know how you feel. What we're going to do throughout the 702 open line, now that according to Eyewitness News, she has arrived at the Pretoria Magistrates Court, we're going to keep a very close eye on that. As soon as she gets in the dock and the magistrate starts talking, we'll try to take some of that live. On the 702 open line.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Hi, good morning. Clemmy and your team, Flores here from the Western Cape. Clemmy, it's absolutely nonsense that the Veterans League is commending Mapisa for resigning. And the question remains, did she jump or was she pushed? Have a good show, bye-bye.
So it's happened now, right? It's now happened, the inevitable, delayed as it was. The former Speaker of the National Assembly has handed herself over to the police this morning. She's due to appear in court. I saw a journalist tweeting a convoy of Baleka Ambete, who's the former Speaker of the National Assembly. She's a comrade of Nosiviwe Mabisa Nqakula. She was there at the police station supporting her. Our reporters are indicating that she's already arrived in court. So as soon as court proceedings start, we'll take that live for you. But she resigned as a member of parliament yesterday, saying she's made this conscious decision in order to dedicate her time to focus and deal with the investigation against her. But she also says, make no mistake, this resignation is no way an indication or admission of guilt regarding the allegations being leveled against me. I've made this decision in order to uphold the integrity and sanctity of our parliament, an apex institution of our system of government, representing the people of South Africa as a whole. That's what Baleka Ambete said in her resignation letter. It's been such a difficult couple of days for people that are close to her. I know from people I've spoken to in the ANC that some people just washed their hands and stopped trying to persuade her to resign and stopped trying to persuade her to hand herself over to the police. But clearly someone managed to get through to her because she resigned yesterday and she handed herself over to the authorities this morning. She's going to be appearing in the dark. You know how that feels for politicians, especially politicians who feel this country owes them everything because they fought for freedom. And yes, we do, actually. We are so grateful for their bravery, for their sacrifices, because they have sacrificed their lives. The have sacrificed their families to fight for freedom. And we're so grateful. I'm personally grateful for that. But that doesn't buy you a ticket to do as you please or to transgress, and there must be no accountability. Doesn't buy you a ticket to be treated special because, oh, I was in exile. I was busy training as a soldier. I was busy trying to fight the apartheid government. Grateful as we are for that contribution, you must still be held accountable. That's not a free ticket and carte blanche to do whatever you want. So I hope politicians can get to a point where they stop feeling the sense of betrayal when police are after them, when the NPA is after them. And then they think, after everything I have done for you, you know those parents? Some parents do that. After everything I have done for you, is this how you will treat me? As if as a parent, I made a request before I was born. Oh, bring me into the earth, please. No, you brought me here. It was your responsibility to raise me. And yes, we must appreciate our parents always for that, because they also make sacrifices. But that doesn't mean that now we must go around eggshells. Whatever they want, whether we have it or not, we must just give, because I have done everything for you. And I feel sometimes that's the attitude we get from politicians. She's going to be in the dock today. Zuma has been in the dock. There are several other politicians who have been. Some of them probably unfairly so, because the NPA still is struggling to prove their cases. But it makes me happy when I see those that are powerful, when I see those that are rich, when I see those that hold, that are high-profile individuals, also being followed up by our law enforcement agencies. That emphasizes that principle of equality before the law. How do you feel about these developments this morning? 17 minutes after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
George, you are in Bedford View. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Clement, my take is, in South Africa, let me give you a typical example. 300 and whatever million in Coco's daughter account, but he's acquitted. He doesn't have to account where the money came from. And secondly, the NPA themselves, they are corrupt. Now, you're sitting with a situation that nothing ever happens that is going to be justice done to people who are stealing. Remember, she's second in charge. For all her benefits are in intact. She'll always have the security. She'll always have a pension. Everything is done. And she will never serve a sentence. You know, and I know that. So it's just a show, and the very same NPA will deliberately make a mess of the case, so that if you look at Coco's case, there's 300 million in his daughter's account, but he's acquitted. Where did he get the money from? He doesn't have to account. This is what we are dealing with here. So the excitement that maybe they are called to account is just really a waste of time. It is what it is. And don't be surprised if she's going to use government money to defend herself. So we are sitting in Mexico here. The mafia is running the country. Thank you.
George, thank you for your contribution in Bedford View. Okay, let me, because I want to pick up on what George says there about the NPA, and I'll get to it in a moment. But the first thing I want to raise with you is, so when we've got breaking news like this, you know, as political reporters, which is something I have done for the most time as a journalist, when I was a field journalist, you form relations with people, and when they're breaking news like this, you want to try and get the context of what's happening behind the scenes. And that's what I've been trying to do over the last couple of days. And I found out how difficult it was to convince Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula to one, resign, but two, hand herself over to the police. I interviewed her lawyer on Face the Nation, which is a show I do on the SABC. This was on Tuesday evening. And I asked the lawyer, now that the court, now that you've lost your interdict application to interdict the arrest of Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula, when is she handing herself over? And the lawyer couldn't say. She said, well, we're still in consultations. And I said, what's there to consult about? The court says, we can't interdict the NPA from making an arrest. And you, as the lawyer of Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula, already indicated that you're going to be available on the 3rd of April to accompany her as she hands herself over. What's there to consult about? And I realized that it was a struggle. Because people say she is often, and this is not a word I'm using, this is a word I was getting from the people I was talking to. They're like, hey, this person can be stubborn. So trying to convince her to do certain things she doesn't agree with or she doesn't think she must do, it's very tricky. I want you to listen to what the ANC Veterans League president, Snoeki Zikalala, said on Tuesday when I spoke to him on the television show. He said, we've also tried. They tried to reach Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula through her husband because they wanted to convince, they wanted to say, yo, talk to your boo. This is not okay. This is not going to end well. This is what Snoeki Zikalala said.
As veterans, we're trying our level best to contact her through the husband for the last 2 days. We're not able to do so. I wouldn't say for what, because as you know, that our stance is very firm. All those who are implicated in state capture or in any corruption must step down, especially if they are charged, if they are criminally charged, must step down, and we must not participate in any activities of the African National Congress. Because as you know, the ANC has suffered severely because of individuals who are involved in malfeasance. And in the past, ANC was defending those people. We saw exactly, we defended Zuma. And let's look what he has done. He caused counter-revolution in this country in 2008 when they removed Thabo Mbeki. But we kept on defending him. You cannot defend people who are doing wrong things. This is what we're saying.
See, they tried and they said they've been trying to get to call Charles Nqakula, who is the husband of Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula. I spoke to people who are fierce supporters of Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula, who said, we're washing our hands. We've tried. And their concern was, this is going to end bad. If she doesn't hand herself over, it's going to get to a point where the police, then the NPA then go and they're going to effect the arrest. And that's going to be embarrassing for her. So what they were trying to do is, just go, just hand yourself over. You're not going to go to jail. The NPA has already said, we are not going to oppose bail. But the difficulty, as I said earlier, for politicians is to see themselves behind the dock, because those are the visuals that are going to be archived. This is not the first time that it's difficult to convince Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula to do something. Remember during the July unrest, was it 2021? Yeah. 2021, that's when the July unrest happened. Over 300 people died. The president comes and says, insurrection. Nosiviyo comes, no, we don't think it was an insurrection. Her own colleagues in cabinet said, yo, you're contradicting the president. Like, you need to sort this out. She didn't want to do that because she felt, no, why do I need to go and clarify? I was told it was a difficulty to really get her to just go and clarify the comment she made that contradicts what the president said. I mean, who's this? Khumbuzo Ntshavheni was the minister in the presidency at the time. I mean, she was then moved to communications and she went back. Now she's back as the minister in the presidency. She was at the time. And she had to go and almost burn her, do a briefing and say, well, what the president said is right. And then Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula decided to hold a press, an impromptu press briefing of sorts, to clarify. Did it have to take a couple of days? for her to be convinced to clarify the comment she made, which really seemed like it contradicted what the president said. This is when she came out and spoke to the media.
It was an attempted insurrection, okay? And I confined myself to counter-revolution because, but ultimately, remember, any element of counter-revolution ultimately may as well lead to an insurrection. When I made that point, that was the point I was making. There was never, and I want to repeat this, never a deliberate or even a mischief on my side to deliberately contradict the commander-in-chief.
Do you know how long it took to convince this woman to say that? It was never my intention to contradict the president. They were trying to convince her behind the scenes, hey, just release a statement. Oh no, she's not a queen that just takes the word. You have to work really hard. Just like those close to her had to work hard to convince her to finally hand herself over and to finally resign from parliament. She's going to appear in court this morning. What happens after she appears in court? I interviewed the ANC's Mahlengi a week ago, and she was very clear. She said, as soon as she steps into that courtroom and the NPA officially charges her, she's got to step aside. But that's now futile because she's already resigned as a member of parliament. She's resigned as the speaker of the National Assembly. She's already written to the ANC saying thank you. Also, she wasn't on the list anyway to return to parliament. But Mahlengi did indicate that as soon as that happens, the process kicks in. She still hasn't appeared before the Integrity Commission of the ANC. I imagine that's a process that will be unfolding. Let's go to your calls now on 011-883-0702. WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Can I just say also, on the NPA, we need to keep a close eye on the NPA. Because they've previously taken cases and they were excited, they were making arrests, so you know, they get to court and they think we've got a strong case. Especially when it comes to high-profile cases. They confidently declare the strength of their cases only for those cases to drag on for years or for the cases to be dropped because of lack of evidence. Look at the embarrassment with Matsela Koko, where they had to drop the case. I mean, the court says, what's going on here? Look at the Nulani case. The first ever state capture case where the judge at the time says this is a comedy of errors. So, as happy as I am that finally we're seeing action on high-profile cases, I'm also worried. I'm genuinely worried about whether the NPA has the capacity to ensure that there's a successful prosecution in this case. Because when they deal with high-profile cases, either they drag on. Look at Zandile Kumede. When was Zandile Kumede charged? When was Ace Magashule charged? When was Angelo Agrizi charged with Linda Mdi? When was Vincent Smith charged? And I'm not suggesting here that the NPA is always the reason why these cases delay. But there are also instances where they are partly to blame, where they're still gathering evidence. That's why in the Nulani case, the judge said the NPA was hoping that in the process of the trial, they're somehow going to get evidence. That's not how it works. You charge people when you are ready. And I hope, I really hope, that they're ready for this case. They're ready to successfully prosecute Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula, and they've got strong evidence. I really, really hope so.
Hi, Clement. Let us not be fooled by resignation of Nqakula. I think she was pressurized to resign because the motion of no confidence was actually accepted. And then in that way, the ANC wouldn't want to see themselves protecting her at the time of election, because now it was going to be exposing them. So I think maybe what they did in the background was to force her to resign so that they didn't have to find themselves in that kind of situation. This is Putin in Witbank.
Clement, if Nosivibe wanted to uphold the integrity and sanctity of Parliament, she should have never agreed to be the Speaker of Parliament. And at the very least, she should have resigned when news broke last week, because this that's happening now, it's not news that we are starting to hear now. It's been going on for a very long time. So she probably thought the court would rule in her favor or let her go scot-free, like her other comrades who have dabbled in corruption and the likes. The law must take its course. Diketso, Delta Freedom Park.
I don't think that anything's going to happen to the national speaker, because I honestly think that they sat her down and they said, let's just give, let's just show an example of what we do over corruption. I think she's going to be well taken care of. I honestly think that she was pushed. I think that it's a strategy to make us feel like, you know, they're doing something about corruption. But, you know, she's going to be taken care of. I mean, yeah, she just, it's all show, in my opinion, all show.
No, guys. Okay, look, I've never, that argument has never convinced me. That's not how the ANC operates. The ANC will do anything to convince you to vote for them. One thing they will not do is to throw each other under the bus. Unless it requires that. Like, that's why even with Zuma, they will sit down with Zuma. Yo, resign, please. We don't want to vote in a motion of no confidence, because they care about how their own leaders bow out. They're always going to find other strategies to get you out before they embarrass you. So that's not how the ANC operates. ANC always protects each other. They close ranks. Remember that. Always. It's 9:31.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 7:02.
24 before 10 o'clock. Jabu, you're in 4 ways. Hi.
Hi, morning, Clement.
Hey, Tara.
Look, for me, the issue is about the lady, the whistleblower. It's not even the whistleblower. I mean, the lady that got the contract, she got contract of over 300 million from SADF, and she was arrested, I think, in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. And then she's out on 80,000 bail, but now her case was dropped because she made representations and she implicated Mapisa. But according to that lady, Mapisa received less than 2.3 million, maybe to 4 million rand. What I don't understand, what I find to be unfair, is why, yes, she will now become a state witness, but is it fair that Mapisa should be the only one now be prosecuted for the sins of that lady? Like, because, yes, she also received, Mapisa also received money. That is corruption. She needs to account for that. But is it fair that the lady that got 300 million, she gets scot-free now simply because she gave Mapisa 2.3 million rand. I don't know. I'll listen on the radio.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair either, Jabu. Thank you for calling. I don't think that's fair either. And we spoke about this the other day. I don't know if you remember. We're talking about what happens when you become a state witness and what the rules say. So it's not a given, and this is what I understood from the lawyers I engaged with on this. It's not a given that when you become state witness, then you will not be tried, or you yourself will also not be sent to jail. Ne? That's not a decision that the NPA makes. That's a decision that a judge makes. And please, if you're a lawyer listening to us now and you want to call us and clarify what happens when you are a state witness, my understanding from the lawyers I spoke to is that the NPA doesn't make a decision of, give us the information, we are not going to send you to jail. No, that's a decision that's going to be made by a judge after they have assessed the information that you have given, after they have assessed your own involvement, in this case, in the corruption. And then the judge is going to make that determination. That's my understanding. But I absolutely agree with you. I don't think that's fair, because there are corruptors, there are corruptees. It takes two to tango. Otherwise, people are going to go around giving bribes, and then they're going to make a claim that, well, that was solicited, and that was the only way I could get a particular contract.
and I'm willing to turn state witness to burn that other person I've been sending money to. Oh, but I have to go scot-free. That's not how you want to run the criminal justice system. So if you're a lawyer, you understand it differently, please give us a call. But that's how I understand it. They're still going to assess the evidence she has. Is it even leading and linking to evidence that can nab Mapisa Ngakula and ensure there's a successful prosecution? But two, is it the kind of evidence that shows the extent of your involvement in this corruption? And what does that say? What does that communicate to the judge? And then a decision is going to be made. But I hope she's also going to go to jail, because nobody put a gun on her head and forced her to go take that wig, to go send all of those bundles of cash that she claims she took to Mapisa Ngakula. Ridwan in Johannesburg, hi.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, man.
Now, well, what did Jacob Zuma do? Jacob Zuma allowed all his cronies to steal, and he knew what they were doing. You understand? So when it came time to turn on him, he had information on them, correct? So the same thing with the speaker came to Cyril Ramaphosa. She protected him, hoping that when it comes to her turn, that he'll protect her. Do you follow the reasoning there?
No, I don't. How did she protect Cyril Ramaphosa?
Over the whole Palapala Farmgate scandal.
The ANC protected Cyril Ramaphosa. It wasn't the Speaker of Parliament. It was ANC members who voted against that report.
But she's the one who decided that it had to be an open vote.
Yes, Ridwan. So you're saying because she decided on that, that was protecting Cyril, because there are certain people within the ANC who are going to be scared to raise their hands.
Yes,
but remember, there are other people who also, even when it was public, like Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is one of those who said, I don't agree with this.
Four
or five or so. But I hear you. So you're saying there could have been more if this was done secretly.
Yes. So, but that is how they operate. We try to cover each other, and you have my back, I have yours.
Mm.
But if they also work on, if the ANC sees the case against you is very strong and it's going to come out that you're going to be found guilty, then they drop you like a hot potato. And because it doesn't look good. That's what happened to Isma Makhashule. Is what happened. What's his name? Was as well. They decided to not support these people because they've been supporting Zuma all along, and they felt it at the polls. The election results showed that. Their support for Zuma is costing them. And that's how come they changed their policy. So the same thing, if they had to keep on supporting the speaker, they would have felt that in an election year, they couldn't afford that.
Ridwan, thank you for your contribution, my friend, in Johannesburg. Seja, in Garankuwa, Pretoria, hi.
Yes, Clement, how are you?
Good, man, how are you?
Okay, man. My understanding is that the writing was on the wall for the former speaker. You see, in the ANC, she is nobody. I'm saying she is nobody in a sense that her constituency is weak. And secondly, her name was missing on the list submitted to IEC.
Yeah.
So it was always going to be obvious. Let me give you an example. Remember during the elected conference, where in the current premier of Limpopo jumped to the ship, right? But what happened to her? Nothing. The reason is because he has got a constituency.
Support base.
Yeah, if you have a constituency in the ANC, you will somehow become untouchable. When you compare that situation to the one, the former speaker, it's actually crazy. it's easy for her to fall because she hasn't got a constituency. Mm. So in the ANC, you enjoy protection on the basis that what is your support base. That's my view.
Even the Women's League, Seja. I mean, in the past, the Women's League would be coming out and issuing statements and saying, yeah, there's a political conspiracy against her. Nothing. Not the structures of the ANC. There's, I mean, I know that there are people who support her, but who have refused to come on air because they're like, they also don't want to be seen to be supporting. So they're supporting her in secret, which makes, to your point, there's no strong support base, constituency that is willing to go, we are going to defend you no matter what.
Yes, but on a parting shot, I think, there's a saying in my language that goes, "Rata mosadi wa gago le a ntse a go tla."
Rata mosadi a gago le ntse a go tla a o tlhagisa. So love your wife even when your wife is giving you trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, for me, I come 29th in May. I think we need to vote African National Congress. I think we need to do that.
Sorry, say that again, Seja. I missed you there. You say?
I'm saying come the 29th of May.
Yeah.
We need to vote African National Congress.
Okay. Because even if they are troubling you, you love them.
Yeah, but there's a potential of them changing. Because this is a new card of them. Although, for me, they're not playing it the right way.
Yeah.
But at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. Is this development of Mabisa Ngakula showing you that there's light at the end of the tunnel?
Not
necessarily this. Okay.
Not only that. Yeah. Not only that. But okay. If you dig deep and check as to how come the news broke regarding the former speaker of Pala, it's a significant manifestation of how serious are they with the new one. It doesn't matter who you are, but also it matters on the constituency you are enjoying.
Okay. Look, Seja, I always say, if you are convinced that the ANC is a party that is renewing, that will change, absolutely, vote for them. If you think that's the EFF, that's the DA that can do that, do that. Seja, you should not even feel ashamed of that. If you are convinced and you're able to look at the material conditions and say, this is what has changed, and I'm satisfied that that demonstrates the seriousness of this party in dealing with corruption and the seriousness of this party in renewing itself, then why not? Jeremiah, you're calling us from Florida. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Clement. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. I actually feel like speaking in my mother tongue, but I'll just try to make my
point. Be free, brother. This is a free space.
Yeah. So, Clement, there's just something that you said. And you said you wish that NT will be ready and fully prepared to make sure that the case is prosecuted and they just successful. Yeah. And the point that I want to raise is, you know, I find it very surprising that in most of the cases, particularly when involving, you know, certain politically connected people, cases will collapse due to silly technicalities. And I think that maybe it's a deliberate thing by the NPA, you know, to make sure that they seem like they are working. But then, they make sure that, I mean, they seem to be looking like they are working, even though, you know, they don't want to, you know, prosecute. Because think about it. Some of these guys that take these big cases, I personally believe that they are very experienced prosecutors. But in most of the cases, and I think this was happening even during the Mbeki era, they will just make some silly mistakes that will collapse cases. And in most of the cases, it's cases involving people that are politically connected. And when I give you an example, you do get the AKA, the Meta case. You know, so there was money that was paid, stuff like that, you know, and you know, it was disclosed without even, without an, what we call prosecutors or investigators discussing it with the alleged people that made payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but you look at this and you automatically realize that there wouldn't be any successful prosecution because, okay, whoever will be arrested and somewhere, somehow, there will be like procedure wasn't followed, and then the case will collapse. And I look at it and I think it's a deliberate thing within NPA to make sure that you protect people that are politically connected by collapsing cases.
Mm. Okay, Jeremiah in Florida, thank you. So, you know, I always want to try and have us distinguish between the ANC as a governing party and independent institutions that operate within the government that is being led by the ANC. So when you talk about, oh, the ANC is serious about renewal because now the NPA is arresting this and that politician, I mean, the inference you're making there is that the ANC has influence over how the NPA goes about doing its work. Yes, the ANC leaders have probably had that kind of influence in the past. But these are independent institutions that have really, really been restructured. Even President Cyril Ramaphosa has found ways to make the appointment of the leaders of these institutions more transparent. So that he's got the powers to just appoint these people. But the one thing he's done well is to say, instead of just appointing who the NPA head is, like Jacob Zuma or Thabo Mbeki or whoever you used to, let's have a panel. Let's have a panel that's independent, that's going to interview who's the best suitable candidate. And they will recommend to me the names and then I can come in from then, which I think is commendable. And we were all excited in the beginning, right? We thought, oh, Shamila Batoi, amazing, independent woman. I mean, wasn't she coming from The Hague at the time? Or she had served there at some point. But this is someone with a good, with an impeccable track record. So either you believe that the NPA is an independent institution or you don't. So when you see them arresting the Speaker of Parliament, do you say, oh, they are trying to help the ANC win elections? Mm-mm. That's why they are arresting her now, or, you know, because they want South Africans to think that the ANC is serious about corruption. I don't know about that. And I'm not saying the NPA is not perfect, absolutely. I mean, I've got reservations about how they've handled this entire Nosiviwe issue. The fact that the NPA didn't pounce on her yesterday is a crisis for me. The court already cleared the way for the NPA on Tuesday. They said, you are free to do what you've got rights to do, to go and effect the arrest or make an arrangement with this person. And the arrangement had already been made for the 3rd of April. When she wasn't calling the NPA on the 3rd and saying, I'm coming over, the NPA should have gone to her house. But they didn't. Because clearly they're considering the fact that she's a high-profile person. And the minute we make those considerations, where we look at people's profiles, we look at the positions they hold in society, that's going to take us off the tracks, because then we're not equal before the law. A normal Tsepo or a normal John somewhere out there was not going to be given the same courtesy that has been given to Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula. And I think the ANC needs, not the ANC, the NPA needs to reflect on that. Obed, you're calling from Winchester. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Clement. How are you?
Good, good, man. Go ahead.
Okay, Clement, my name is Albert. I'm an attorney. So I just want to weigh in on the issue of tenacity and plea bargaining.
Yes, please, man.
Mm. So my understanding of the law is that there are two types of plea bargaining. Now, the first one is the one that the defense team and their client have, you know, with the prosecution alone, whereby they agree to say, okay, this is what you give to us and this is what we give in return. But it is not absolute. It still has to be, you know, approved by the magistrate or the judge at the end of the day. If the magistrate or the judge at the end of the day look at the thing and say, you know what, I'm not interested, let's go for a full trial, and so be it. Mm. And then the other one is the one that you have in terms of Section 204 of the Criminal Procedure Act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't happen all the time, whereby after putting the charges to the witness and the state hears the witness and they decide, you know what, we need to take this witness to our side and make him or her a state witness. And then, yeah, and this is where it is not agreed by the court that this is a state witness. And whatever is agreed, maybe to grant immunity, that is what's going to happen. Or sometimes it's not going to be 100% immunity. Mm-hmm. They might decide to say, listen, mm-hmm. we're going to give you a short-term imprisonment,
yes.
you know, whatever, or you're going to pay a fine or whatever the agreement is. So, yeah, so we need to differentiate between the two. There are two types of plea bargaining.
Well, wonderful.
All right.
Obed,
and then in closing, I want to say that I think Nancy Piwe got what she wanted. She knows she's not going to get any, you know, thing from the High Court, but it was just a delay tactic.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't get disgraced initially. Yeah. I know we spoke about this the other time. So, yeah.
She bought time, Obed. She did, and she got it. That's all she wanted. She wanted to buy time, and she did. Seppo, you are in Venda.
Dimachoron, Clement Mirmin.
Reapela, Mirmin.
Yeah, I'm Biman Wanamianga. Clement, let me say, you know, I'm very ashamed by the leadership of our fellow brother, Cyril Ramaphosa. You know, we as Venda people, we are known to be a good people and to have a good leadership skills. You understand? Mm. So, but now, here's the problem, my brother. When you look at this issue of the Speaker of the Parliament, Bapisa Ngawula, and then I can guarantee and tell you right now that, you know what, she's not going to jail. What she's going to do, they're going to say, you know what, she can just pay a fine, and then after that, all is going to go under the carpet. Remember when Batabile Dlamini also, she was supposed to be arrested, and then she paid the fine of 200,000. Mm. If you can recall as well, there was a lady, that one for NASA's scandal and whatsoever, she was arrested, you understand? So because of now the election is around the corner, the ANC want to make us to believe that, you know what, they are really fighting corruption. But to check, they are not fighting a corruption. They just want to gain the trust from the public that, you know what, if we can vote them again, everything is going to be okay.
Mm.
So I don't think that there's something better that is going to come out of this case.
Mm.
Because of right now, everyone in ANC, they've got their own scandal.
Yeah.
You understand? This is just a trick for people to believe that, you know what, they are really fighting it, but nothing. Ndarandu.
Okay. Yeah, no, Ndolebuwa. Seppo.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling, Seppo. Sfiso in Bloemfontein, hi.
Hi, look, Clement, for me, I think it's a good thing that Mapisa Ngawula is going down alone. If you were to look at contractors who purely want to do business with the state or whatsoever, whether it's private sector and all that, the officials, senior management, all those people are the ones who are baiting these guys to say, if you want to work with us, it's simple, pay us this much, therefore you'll get the contract. So in such a case, yes, we may say it's unfair, but in this case, I think it's a good example, especially to all the ministers, all the government officials, to say, if you were to try or we find your hand in the cookie jar, be ready that at some point the possibility is that you might go down alone. It will set a good example. I don't care whether it's the ANC playing electioneering tactics or what, I don't care. But this should set a good example to other working officials, whether it's the director or the HOD, it doesn't matter. They will see that it's even possible for me to go down alone if this person will tell on me. So I think it will be a wake-up call, especially considering that Mapisa Ngawula was now the Speaker of Parliament. If she can really... This is an embarrassment, Clement, in any case.
Yeah.
Whether she was going to come back to Parliament or not, but it's an embarrassment. Her name will go down as the lady who was accused of corruption, whether she goes to jail or not. But that thing, it will be there up until she rests in peace. So we need to cut the head of those officials who are corrupt.
Got you. Sfiso in Bloemfontein, thank you for your call, brother.